Good morning.
There you are. One of the distinctive features of the Churches of Christ is the fact that there are no mechanical instruments of music used in the worship. I have a good friend, a co-worker, and he is a member of a quote-unquote Christian rock band. Oftentimes he and I discuss the issue of Christian music, so-called. And I've told him, I said, do you realize that... Do you realize that by definition, Christian music is without instrumental music? I said, the very word a cappella, which is from an Italian word that literally means as in the church or as in the chapel, is used in our culture to indicate that which is sang without the instruments in accompaniment. We don't really seem to buy into that. But you know, the majority of the religious world uses mechanical instruments in their worship service. However, as we look around, we don't find any mechanical instruments of music here. We don't find any here around the pulpit. We don't find any in the assembly anywhere. You come to a sound congregation of the Churches of Christ, and you won't find instrumental music in the worship. This surprises many people when they come and assemble with the saints in the Lord's church. The fact that we don't use them causes surprise. It causes wonder on the part of many. And frequently the question is asked, or the statement is asked, or the statement is made, where is the music? Or you folks are the ones that don't believe in music and worship. Oh, indeed we do. Yes, yes. That's an entirely different matter about instruments, mechanical instruments of music being used in the worship. Friends, this morning I'm going to discuss the practices that characterize the religious world that we do not follow. We do not use mechanical instruments of music in the worship assembly. And why? Essential to a proper understanding of this question, we ask ourselves this: what is the purpose of our worship anyway? Well, upon reflection, upon study of the Bible, we discover that it is simply and solely for the purpose of pleasing our Heavenly Father. We are not the audience. The Father is the audience. We seek to please Him. It's not a matter of what pleases us. What pleases the God of heaven? Someone then may ask, well, what pleases God in worship? Well, that can only be answered by the sacred scriptures. We can only find the answer to that question in the Bible. Well, someone may say, well, that makes it quite simple. Yeah, yeah. You remember David? David, isn't it the case that he used instrumental music in worship? Is it not the case that he worshiped God using the instrument? Well, the Bible answer to that would be yes. Well, if David used it, someone may say, then why isn't it permissible for us today? Well, that's a fair question. But let me ask this first in answering that question. You know, David offered animal sacrifices in worship. True. We find that from the Bible as well. Well, let's just suppose that someone were to come into the assembly and they were to bring under their arm a lamb without spot, without blemish. And they say, I would like to offer this lamb without spot and without blemish in offering, in worship to God. Well, I have no doubt that the elders would stand up and such would not be permitted. Well, suppose this individual were to say, no, wait a minute. Didn't David offer sacrifices to Jehovah God? Yes. Was not God pleased with those sacrifices? Yes. Well, then why would I not be allowed to offer this lamb without spot and without blemish in worship to God? Well, friend, it's just the fact that you are not living under a law currently that commands the giving of animal sacrifices. We live under the new covenant, the law of Christ, the New Testament. Well, suppose with me also that an individual comes in and they say, well, I'd like to offer incense to the Lord. You know, we find that in the Bible. Didn't David offer incense? Didn't we find that in the Bible? So I would like to offer this incense in worship to God. Well, obviously he wouldn't be permitted to do that either. But if he were to say, well, no, wait a minute, didn't they burn incense in the Old Testament? Yes. Didn't the Lord look with approval upon such a item of worship? Of course he did, yes. Well then, why am I not allowed to do it now? Why can I not do it and worship to God now? Well, the answer obviously would be that you don't live under the law that permitted the burning of incense and animal sacrifices. Suppose with me again, an individual comes in and wishing to apply for membership or be a member here at Flatwoods. He says he's obeyed the gospel, but now he has been married some half a dozen times. He has about a half a dozen wives that are living, presents himself for membership. But now, I don't think he would be accepted, obviously. Plural marriages, polygamy being practiced. And what if this individual, in response to that, were to say, wait, didn't they practice polygamy in the Old Testament? Well, yeah. Didn't David have several wives? Yes. Didn't Solomon have wives by the hundred? Yes. Bless his heart. Then why can't it be done now, they may ask? Well, friend, here's the idea and here's the point. We don't live under the law that authorized the burning of incense, that required animal sacrifices, that permitted polygamy, that tolerated the use of instrumental music. Friends, we live under a different law than what David did. And to go back to that law, go back to the Old Testament to try and justify a practice today in the New Covenant, you remember in Galatians 5, verse 4, I believe it is, that Paul would say that those that seek to be justified by the law, they are fallen from grace. Now, in the context there, I believe it's talking about circumcision and so forth, but keeping the Old Testament law to try and be justified under that, you have fallen from grace. But that was an Old Testament practice, friends. The New Testament does not authorize instrumental music in worship. We are under the law of Christ, the New Testament, the gospel. Let me call your attention to something quite interesting. You know, you can begin in Matthew chapter 1, read all the way in that first verse, and you can read all the way to the end of Revelation chapter 22. And as you read through the entirety of the New Testament, there is not the slightest indication of the use of instruments. We do not find any examples of that in the New Testament. Jesus never mentioned it, no apostle ever sanctioned it, no New Testament writer ever commanded it, no apostolic church ever practiced it. It is completely and entirely without authorization in the Word of God. We do not find it by example, we do not find it by necessary inference, and we do not find it by direct statement. And that is how one determines what is authorized in the Word of God. As we consider the Word of God in relation to instrumental music, did you ever notice the warnings that are contained within the Bible about adding to God's Word? You remember in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, there Moses writing, the first writer of the Old Testament, there the Bible says, "Ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it." So there, essentially in the beginning of the Bible, we find the command, you do not add to the Word of God. You get about to the middle of the Bible, Solomon, I believe, writing in Proverbs 30, verse 6, "Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." One is forbidden to add to God's law. Now, we get to the book of Revelation. The Bible ends with the warning, "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book." Friends, we cannot use instrumental music in worship without adding to the New Testament. So the curses of these passages are to be applied or rest upon those who so do, they add to God's Word. Someone says, "Well, the Bible says you can't do it." If the Bible don't have to say what you can't do, it authorizes by what it does say, and what is not authorized is the adding of instrumental music. To add instrumental music to the worship assembly is to add to God's Word. If not, excuse me, why not? In Colossians 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, this is a very comprehensive statement. Whatsoever you do in word, that is what you say. Whatsoever you do in deed, that's whatsoever you do. Do what? Do it how, Paul? Do it all in the name of the Lord. What does it mean to do a thing in the name of someone? You can only do something in the name of someone is to do it by their authority. So to do a thing in the name of the Lord is to do it by the Lord's authority. Paul is saying, whatsoever you do, that is in matters religious, do it by the authority of Christ. But friends, you can't practice instrumental music by the authority of Christ because Christ is nowhere authorized it. So you can't do it in the name of the Lord. But Paul says, whatsoever you do, do it that way. How? In the name of the Lord. You can't do instrumental music by the authority of the Lord because the Lord has nowhere authorized it in the New Testament. Therefore, it is wrong. If not, why not? You know, there's some other evidence within the New Testament about mechanical instruments of music being used in the worship assembly that indicate that it is wrong, that it is unscriptural. For instance, in John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Here Jesus is speaking to the apostles. Why did the Holy Spirit come? He came on the day of Pentecost. When did the Holy Spirit come? He came on the day of Pentecost. What did he come for? To guide the apostles into all truth. Now listen to this. He didn't guide them into instrumental music, but he did guide them into all truth. Therefore, instrumental music is not part of the truth. Because no apostle ever taught it, and no church ever practiced it, and it was never commanded by an apostle, either by word or by inspired writing. Paul told the elders at Ephesus, at the church of Ephesus, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Acts 20. Verse 20. But he didn't give them instrumental music. Therefore, instrumental music must not have been profitable. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible, therefore, throughly furnishes us to every good work. How much does it furnish us? Every good work. But it doesn't furnish us to use instrumental music in Christian worship. Therefore, instrumental music is not a good work. And then in 2 Peter 1, verse 3, the apostle said, God hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How much has he given us? All things that pertain to life and godliness. But he hasn't given us instrumental music. Therefore, instrumental music does not pertain to either life nor godliness. This is just a few of the passages, brothers and sisters, friends, that mechanical instruments of music in the worship is not authorized and is contrary to the teaching of what the Bible says. Well, somebody says, well, now you've showed us what God doesn't want. What does God want? Maybe you should have started with this, but I waited till here. When we talk about music, what are we talking about? A definition. Let's define our terms. Music, vocal or instrumental sounds, or both, combined in such a way as to produce beauty of form, harmony, expression of emotion. So either you have vocal a cappella music, you either have instrumental music, which I really enjoy, especially piano concertos, or you have a combination of both. You have them blended together. All right? Now, what is the divine way? What has God commanded? What has God said that He wanted? He is the one to whom we are worshiping. He is the one that is to be pleased with the worship offered Him. Not us. It's not for what I like or you like. It's for what God likes and what God wants and what He has commanded. Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do what? Singing with melody. Where should the melody be, Paul? On an instrument? No. Where? Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. In the heart is prayer, is the place where the melody is to be made. We recognize the fact that there are many people that object to the idea that instrumental music is not authorized within the Bible. They try and justify it by various arguments. In the time I have left, let's address some of those. There are those that say, well, you use songbooks. Use songbooks. Songbooks are aids to singing. If it's right to use a songbook, then is it not right to use a piano? Why is it not right to use an organ? Well, friends, some people have difficulty seeing a difference in this. What has the Lord commanded us to do? We just saw it. To sing. Then what are we to do? What are we doing when we use a songbook? We're singing. It hasn't changed the command. It hasn't changed what we are doing. We're doing exactly that. No more, no less. We are singing. But when you bring an instrument into the worship, what do you do on the instrument? What does the instrument do? The instrument doesn't sing. What does it do? It plays. There's nowhere in the Bible that there's authority for playing. To play, to add instrumental music, is another type of music and is an addition, an innovation, and it is a thing that is not authorized by the Word of God. Well, there are those that say, well now, song leaders sometimes use a tuning fork or a pitch pipe for pitching the song. If it's right to use a tuning fork, then why not a piano? Well now, friends, if you don't know the difference between a tuning fork and a piano, I ain't got time in this lesson to tell you the difference. I'll just tell you that right now. A tuning fork is not an instrument of music. It lacks the character of being an instrument of music. You know that it has been observed there is a remarkable difference between a tuning fork and a piano. A tuning fork has enough sense to hush before the worship begins, and a piano will keep chattering on right on through. That is the difference, friend. There is no authority for, and even if a tuning fork is wrong, doesn't lead to the conclusion that instrumental music is right. No, not at all. But they are not synonymous, a tuning fork and a instrument of music. Well, there are those that say, well, now we have pianos in the home. We have organs in our home. We have guitars in our home. So if it's right to have it in the home, yeah, sure, we can have it in the worship service. Well, friends, there are many things right in the home that's wrong in the church. I have a dog at home. I have lunch meat in my refrigerator. That don't mean we bring it into worship. Now, my house ain't got a bite to eat in it if I don't have bologna. But that don't mean I want to serve it on the Lord's table. I have a dog at home. That don't mean I want to have pet dedications on the Lord's day, which also has no authority whatsoever. Neither does bologna on the Lord's table. Thinking people ought to realize that that's not the case. We have babies in our home. There's no argument for infant baptism. Just as right to insist upon instrument in the service as it is infant membership, membership in the church. Well, that doesn't fit. So that argument doesn't hold water. I suppose anybody could, you know, sit down and, you know, count beads if you're curious, want to know how many they are. But to bring that into the worship assembly, to make that a requirement of religion, well, that makes it wrong because we are nowhere required in the New Testament to count beads as a religious service. As I said, if you want to know how many, for whatever reason, you want to know how many beads is on a string, yeah, you go ahead and count them. There ain't nothing wrong with that inherently. But now to bring it in without the authority of the New Testament, that makes it wrong and against the Word of God. Some people will say, oh yeah, they'll have instruments in heaven. So now if they have them in heaven, we can have them in the worship service, right? My friends, Revelation, the book of Revelation, is a highly figurative book written in highly figurative language. And even if it could be shown that there will be instruments of music in heaven, which cannot be done, I can assure you, that's no proof that they should be in the church. There'll be babies in heaven, but again, that doesn't mean that we have infant membership in the church. It one's argument is as good as the other. Well, then some people say, well, you just don't enjoy the instrument. That's what it is. You just don't like instrumental music, and that's all it is. Friends, as I said, one of my favorite things listening to is instrumental music. I used to play trumpet in the band years ago when I was in high school. I can't play the guitar, and I can't play the organ or the piano, and that's not a matter of whether I like or dislike it. But the point is this, what I do in my personal life, what I enjoy in my personal life, does not automatically authorize it in the worship assembly. Okay, there's some of us that like target shooting. There's some of us like doing other things, but that doesn't automatically say, yeah, if you enjoy that, you can bring it into the assembly. No, that's not it. And it's not a matter of what I like or dislike or you like or dislike. It's a matter of what God has spoken, what God has authorized, what God has said. Someone says, well, the Bible says you can't do it. Can you imagine? Think that through for a moment. Could you imagine the practices within a church if you use the idea that the Bible says doesn't say you can't do it? Can you imagine that kind of argument? But now, the Bible doesn't have to say that you can't do it. When God speaks specifically to an issue, that excludes everything else. God told Noah, said, you build an ark. And if he ended right there, he could have built it out of whatever kind of material he wanted to build it out of. But God didn't stop there. God said, you build an ark, Noah, and you build it out of gopher wood. He could build it. How he built it was left to expediency, true. But now, the type of wood, did God have to say, now don't use oak, don't use maple, don't use pine, don't use... When God said, use gopher wood, that excluded everything else. Now, could Noah have said, yeah, but you didn't say I couldn't do it. No, that's not the case at all. When God spoke to the matter and said specifically what he wanted, that excluded everything else. We realize that in our everyday life. We go to a restaurant after worship this morning. We play Beat the Baptist. We get out, we take off at a dead run, we're trying to get to the restaurant, we get there, and I say, I would like country fried steak and green beans, mashed potatoes. I enjoy that. You probably said I said fried chicken because I'm a preacher, but I'll save it for another time. But now the point is this, when I say I want a country fried steak, did I have to go through and say, I don't want fried chicken, I don't want fish, I don't want a garden salad, I don't want... We all recognize that when you say what you want, when you specify that, that excludes everything else. You don't have to go through, hey, I don't... See, and could they bring me, you know, salmon patties? Not a fan. Nothing against you that like those, like salmon patties, I'm just not a fan. But now, could they bring me salmon patties and say, well, you didn't say not to bring you salmon patties. But when I said I wanted country fried steak, that excluded salmon patties. Otherwise, their argument's valid and I need to eat the thing. And that we know that in our lives, in our everyday life, that's not. So when God has said to sing, that excludes everything else that we do not pluck and play and beat and bang and whatever the case may be, on some kind of mechanical instrument of music. Why are we opposed to mechanical instruments of music in the worship? Because it is without authority in the Word of God. You cannot find it in the New Testament, any authority for mechanical instruments of music in the worship assembly. The New Testament is our rule of faith and practice in all matters pertaining to Christian worship. We speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. The Bible is silent on the issue of instrumental music. It has not authorized it, and therefore it is not permissible. It is not authorized in our Christian worship. It's our prayer, therefore, that those who are engaging in such things and that have no thus saith the Lord, you recognize the dangers of such a course, renounce such a course, confess the sin of having added to the Word of God. Assembling with people that have added to God's Word by bringing in mechanical instruments into the worship assembly. That's our prayer this morning. We as churches of Christ, we as the Lord's church, seek to do things the way God has commanded. Not to go beyond what is written. To remain in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John verse 9. Not to go beyond that which is written. Not be progressive. As you know, in 2 John 9, it talks about those, it says, you know, John says, whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That word transgresseth in the American Standard means goes beyond. That word is a root word, has a root word. It's my understanding that where we get our word progressive or progresses. Literally, it's saying whosoever progresses or is progressive goes onward, goes beyond the word, the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. To add the instrument to the worship assembly is to go beyond the doctrine of Christ and therefore to not have God. That's something we do not need to practice. We do not need to start, and we need to teach those that are engaged in such to repent of this wickedness because it is not authorized by the New Testament. Book, chapter, and verse. Maybe someone needs to have their sin forgiven this morning. There are those out in the world this morning that are playing on a mechanical instrument without divine authority. There are those out in the religious world this morning that are teaching a plan of salvation that do not have Bible authority. They will say you're saved by faith only or grace only. You're not saved by anything only. Because Jesus said that unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. One must believe the doctrine of Christ. Believe that Jesus is deity, the Son of God. Be willing to repent of a life of sin. That is to turn away from sin, turn toward the Lord. It involves a change of mind. Because Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, tell your neighbor, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, you must confess the name of Christ. Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Someone says, you have no authority, Bible authority, to teach that. We have book, chapter, and verse. Those people that are teaching things contrary to the gospel of Christ, they do not have book, chapter, and verse. Those people that bring in instrumental music into the worship assembly are doing it based on man's commandments, not the commandments of God. Those people that would pervert the gospel and have something different than what God has commanded to have their sin forgiven is teaching the commandments of men and not the commandments of God. You can obey the commands of God this morning by belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel in time past. You can come back in penitence and prayer. If it's of a public nature, if it needs to be confessed publicly, you can come forward and we'll pray with you and we will pray for you as you offer up prayers to God. If your sin is of a private nature, bow your head, child of God. If you've obeyed the gospel, ask the God of heaven to forgive you. If it's of a private nature, the God of heaven has assured us that those sins will be forgiven. If it's of a public nature, it needs to be confessed publicly unless reproach be brought upon the church. Whatever your need might be, dear friend, come forward as we sing a song of invitation to encourage you.
Live for Jesus, oh my brother, His disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus, give Him all Thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave His life that Thou mightst live. Live for Jesus, wandering sinner, under Satan serve no more. Of the promised prize a winner, Thou when life is o'er. Live for Jesus, give Him all Thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave His life that Thou mightst live. Live for Jesus in life's morning, at the noontide hour be His. bliss. Live for Jesus, give him all thou hast to give. On the cross, the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live.